you're listening to the All About Symbian podcast, and your host today, myself, Ewan Spence. As always, comments are welcome back at allaboutsymbian.com. And coming up in today's show, we'll be having a look at cases for the E61 and E61i. We'll be having a look at an incident of theft of a mobile phone in North Camden and what it means to you and your data. And we'll also be looking at the latest Sony Ericsson phone. In fact, we're going to start off with that point there immediately. So it is over to Rafe with news of that latest phone.
W960 is the second Walkman phone powered by UIQ from Sony Ericsson, the first of course being the W950. The W960 has 8GB of flash memory, that's 4 more than the W950, but perhaps more significantly it also has Wi-Fi and a 3.2MP camera. The 3.2MP camera has autofocus, so it should produce results equal with some of the best N-series phones such as the N73 and the N95. Indeed, this is the same camera that was in the P1i, and I was certainly impressed by the results from that when I tried it about a month ago. The Wi-Fi is also significant as it adds another connectivity option with faster speeds, and is generally something that people are now looking for in the modern smartphone. The other thing that's interesting about the W960, and also to an extent the P1i, is Sony Ericsson's renewed emphasis on third-party software. Both the P1i and the W960 are going to ship with over 30 different applications embedded onto the phone, either as full versions or promoted as try and buy applications. These include applications such as the business card scanner and the well-known Quick Office suite, but there's also going to be things such as the PDF viewer and the Vijay Singh Pro Golf 3D game, which will be familiar to earlier UIQ3 users. But it goes beyond this. There's also going to be things such as Nightclub Empire, a game from Digital Chocolate, as well as Raging Thunder from Telco Games. This is a new game that uses the OpenGL ES3D functions of the phone, which can create some seriously impressive gaming experiences. Of course, there'll also be the blogging type applications with Mobile Blogger for going up to blogger.com blogs, and Shouzu. Wayfinder is another of these applications. And there's a number of other applications too. Returning to the overall prospects for the W960, I think it's going to be pretty positive. One of the things that they've changed with the W960 is the ability to use your finger as well as the stylus. This means that in the music player application, there are some controls that are optimized to using your finger for scrolling through your albums and your music collection. This also applies to other media, although we won't see the full extent of this until we get our hands on a review device. The W960 is almost inevitably going to be compared to other music phones on the market, and of course the one at the moment is the iPhone. The W960 ostensibly has very similar specifications. It's a touchscreen device, has good music support, it's got Wi-Fi, but it also offers quite a bit more than the iPhone. Of course, because it's a UIQ3 device, there's third-party software, but there's also 3G connectivity, and of course the camera's also better specified and should produce better results. Of course, it's not that simple, since the iPhone's big selling point is likely to be its user interface, but I do think that Sony Ericsson have done a good job with UIQ3, and there's a lot of potential here. I think in the end it will come down to a question of marketing. There doesn't seem to be that much fuss made about the W960, but it is an extremely impressive device, and one of the impressions I get, as I did with the P1i, is that this is an extremely well-rounded device that has a lot of the features that you'll want, and has them well integrated, with plenty of memory, and a sense that this is a complete product offering that is mature and well-suited for real-world usage.
Thank you for that preview there, Rafe, and looking at the 960 compared to the 950, it certainly does fill in a lot of the gaps, and would certainly, the bits that made me a bit wary to carry the 950 as my regular phone, don't have that problem anymore. It seems to filled it in very, very nicely. Now, second host up, Steve Litchfield. Steve, what have you been up to this week?
Yes, Ewan, it's all been a bit of a case week or a case month. First of all, we had the Nokia E90, which I'd been trying and trying to find a case for, and of course there aren't any yet. So I contacted ProPorter, and they very kindly got their chief designer to knock something up around the prototype which I had loaned them. And apparently the Litchfield Designer E90 case is being made at this minute, and hopefully I'll put some photos up when it arrives in a couple of weeks' time. More to the point, I've had this E61i, which they'd also loaned us from Nokia UK, very kindly. And having started to use that, it suddenly became apparent that none of my existing cases, which I tend to use generic cases from people like Crusell from Sweden, which are very, very good, and they fit just about every handset. But of course, the E61i and the E61 are particularly wide and flat, and none of my cases would fit. So I started looking out at what cases were available for the E61 and its ilk. And I was struck by the number of cases which seemed to feature the E61 and E61i with its keyboard and screen facing outwards inside a transparent sleeve. So it's on your belt, but everyone can see exactly what's on your belt. It flaunts the fact you've got a quite expensive communicator, and you don't really want people to see that. I don't know about where you live, but living near a major town or a city, when you go strolling through at 6 or 7 in the evening on your way to the restaurant, and groups of youths hanging around, they're not necessarily maliciously, but you really don't want to be showing exactly what you're carrying, and the fact that you might have a bit of money on you, and certainly an expensive phone to bop you on the head for. There's certainly a personal security issue here, I think. And it's not just about cases. If you have an N95 or an E90 or an N93, something, again, quite obviously flashy and obviously expensive, you really don't want to be sort of seen using it and flashing it about in major town or city centres. It's just not a sensible thing to do, certainly not in some areas. So what are the answers? Number one, of course, you can just buy a less flashy phone or a smartphone, or have a budget phone for taking out in the evenings to pubs and clubs, where there's less of a risk. Number two, you can have cases which hide your smartphone more, all-inclusive holster-type cases, which have solid fronts and backs and so forth. Or, of course, you can just keep your smartphone hidden inside an inside pocket. Number three, you can just be more discreet generally. I've found that when I've taken the N95 out, or N93, for example, you just try and cover it in your hand while you're using it as much as possible, so that people just think it's a phone. They don't notice the fact that it's got swivelly bits and slidey bits and sticky out bits and all sorts of places to plug interesting accessories. Be discreet, in other words. For the E61i, I ended up with the standard Nokia holster, which does quite a good job of hiding what you're carrying and yet giving you quick access when you need it. Is this all a trivial issue? Well, I guess so. People always snigger a bit when I talk about cases and case reviews, but the fact is they're quite important day-to-day at protecting your device and letting you always have it with you in such a way that you don't keep forgetting it everywhere. It's also not a trivial issue because if it's your precious smartphone that's just been pinched, and also if you end up getting pushed to the ground or pushed into a road or a canal or generally harmed because someone's after your £300 or £400 smartphone, it's generally not a trivial issue, and it's you that's going to end up recovering and recovering your losses. So be careful out there, guys, and be discreet, and best of luck with your smartphones.
Steve is quite right. It generally isn't a trivial issue, and thank you for that, of course, to Steve. The loss of your mobile phone. It has put me in mind of an incident with Ewan McLeod in the last week, which he has blogged about. He's up in Camden, in North London, with his Nokia N95 making a call to find it being taken out of his hand, literally stolen while he was on the call. I'm sure there's an argument there for using hands-free and everything, but they're just so fiddly. How many people actually use that when they can just pick it up, open up the phone and ask for a taxi to come and get them? I find most interesting wasn't the fact that it was a phone being stolen. I mean, that does happen quite regularly. It's that it seemed to be a coordinated gang of youths, because once the phone was gone, another youth who just happened to be hanging by turned around and said to Mr. McLeod, "Look, mister, that's my cousin. I know him. If you give me a tenner, I can get your SIM card back." And it's, of course, McLeod, of course, as knows quite obviously that he's got his data backed up. It's backed up in his phone with SIM in a cloud of data. But you continued, your numbers are important to me. Go on, a tenner, I'll get your SIM card back. It's a lovely, lovely scene because, as we all know, mobile phones are very easily IMEI locked within 48 hours of them being stolen or reported stolen back to your network. It sounds like the youth of today have found a way to make stealing mobile phones rather profitable. Take the phone, sell the data back. What a lovely racket that is. Of course, it does yet again raise the idea that you must keep backups of your information. The phone isn't an easily replaceable part. It's the information that's inside the phone that is very, very important. Now, in the old days when your PDA was standalone, you know, backup was always stressed. And to a certain extent, we still need to stress that nowadays. The amount of information, in, say, in a Nokia N95 on one of those 1 gigabyte, 2 gigabyte micro SD drives can be a lot. Your names, your addresses, your diaries. So do remember to back up your phone. And remember, synchronizing is not just enough with the Nokia P-Suite. The full backup will take over your data. And obviously, if you're using something like LifeBlog as well, that will make sure that you have all your treasured pictures and videos, and also your texts, MMSs and so on, will be taken there as well. So do take that into consideration. And if you've not backed up your phone recently, go and do it now. Ask yourself, can you lose your phone? Could you replace it? If you had another one in your back pocket, could you just go take it up, do another restore from your PC, and away you go again? Generally, I think that's what Steve Rafe and I could do with the amount of devices that we have on review. I mean, we're constantly shuffling data around all of these devices. And, of course, it's something McLeod could do as well. Can you? What would happen to you if it were to happen? Interesting question. Let us know what you think on that issue, and also on the cases and the 960 and all anything else that's coming up in the Symbian world over at allaboutsymbian.com. Your comments in the forum or in the news posts are very much appreciated throughout the time. Also, if you've got an idea for a story or feature that you'd like to hear in the podcast, then again, drop us a note. It's very easy to get a hold of us. Contact details are back on the website. But for now, thank you very much for listening, and we will be back next week with another All About Symbian podcast. You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast. www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2006.